renew us, challenge us, transform us, encourage us, make us more like you. And as we just sang now, may this word come alive into our hearts where we trust you fully, totally, completely, 100%. Give us a faith that rises above our religion. Give us a faith and a trust that goes beyond our traditional belief. Give us your Holy Spirit that has freedom to work, move into our hearts as we worship, as we listen, as we do life together, as we do mission and everything else together, as we have lunch this afternoon. Lord, bless us with your Holy Spirit, we pray today, through your word, through worship, through everything we do. May the name of Jesus, the name above all names, be glorified today. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to extend my welcome to Emma Louise and to David. Thank you for traveling all the way from Gloucestershire to come and spend the day with us. Are the girls okay? Without you, you can leave them here for a week. You can go up to Scotland, come back, pick them next Saturday. Bless you. It's only about 10 years ago that I was coming from Cheltenham to visit this church. I came on the 14th of June. You came on the 30th. I came to preach here with a view about 10 years ago. 11 really. It is 2008, if my maths are right. And there we go, standing together now to discern God's will. And it's leading if this wonderful couple could come and join us in what God is doing on the ridge there and beyond as part of our mission and ministry here on the ridge. I was thinking hard about what can I share with you this morning. Now, I'd like you to do something. Can you get, if you are on your own, Steve Elliott, you're on your own, can you get closer to somebody? Shona, is that okay? If you're on your own, can you get closer to somebody? Can you do that for me? It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Don't sit on your own, that's what I'm saying. Lovely. Now, if you're in twos or threes, you can be in four, but be with somebody. Thank you. Brilliant. Oh, look at that. Isn't that lovely? Human beings do not bite, usually. That's lovely. Thank you. I'd like to give you a question, and you've got 60 seconds. Now, 60 seconds. 30 seconds to share one bit, and 30 for the other person to share the other bit. So one, just 60 seconds. If you were in a house, it could be your house, it could be, let's say, a friend's house, a mansion, a castle, whatever, and you've got 60 seconds to get out because there is a fire, there is a flood, whatever it is, what will you take? 30 seconds each. Yeah, turn towards each other. What will you take? Okay, just shout at me a word or two if you think what's the best precious thing to your heart that you will get out of the house if you've got 60 seconds to get out. Just shout a word or whatever you said to the person. Family. Family, okay. Okay.
Cats.
Photographs. Fantastic, yeah. So Vincent Holly, yeah, they only to come out. Anybody else? Wonderful. There's a real spiritual man among us. Sorry? Your trainers. Jimbo, how many pairs of trainers has that cat guy got? How many pairs have you got of trainers? More than 100? Yeah. In 60 seconds to get 100 pairs of trainers out of your house, it will be a job. Now, this is a passage that we have in Matthew. Is again reflected in another passage in Luke. And there's quite a bit of a difference between the two. But I'm going to focus on this one in Matthew. This is a Roman centurion. And I like to call him a very compassionate centurion. Centurion was a Roman soldier. And as the name indicates, he had about... Can I have the PowerPoint on, please, Jeffrey? Thank you. Sorry to wake you up. Thank you. Is this guy who had about 100 soldiers, as the name Centurion actually stands for, under his leadership, under his power and authority. And this very compassionate centurion, he had a problem. He had a really big problem. He had a servant. And the scripture doesn't tell us how old he was, but I would imagine from what the story in Luke says, he was quite a young man. And he was very, very, very ill. And I think from the passage here, it says that he lies at home paralyzed and in very terrible suffering. So he was in terrible pain. And this Roman centurion, he sees his servant, I would imagine, lying there in bed, pale face, probably breathing difficulty, with a lot of pain and moaning and groaning and all that stuff. And he has the courage, because he's heard about this Jesus figure, this Jesus guy who is passing by, and he has the courage to go and say, I would like you to heal my servant. Now, it's very interesting because a servant in those times had no rights. They couldn't, if he was ill, usually the master would just let him die. He'll be finished. But this very compassionate centurion has mercy on him, and he probably had enough watching him, the way he was sitting there, the way he was struggling, the way he was in pain, and he takes the courage to go and see Jesus, asking him if he heals his servant. And it's what is also strange is that this passage comes after Jesus preached on the Beatitudes, on the Sermon on the Mount, where he preached to all the Israelites, to all the people of the kingdom in the nation of Israel. And this is for the first time Jesus steps out of that hugely Jewish population and region into what we might call secular, what was the Gentile region of Capernaum. And he goes in there for the first time, and this is the first thing that Jesus does. He meets this Roman centurion. And as he goes in there, is Jesus finds this surprising statement, absolutely incredible, surprising statement. After he goes to Jesus and he says, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Then he says, Jesus says to him, okay, I'll come to you. And this is the response that this compassionate centurion has when Jesus says, I will come. He says, Lord, don't bother. I don't want you to come. Because like yourself, I'm a man under authority. And if I say a word to my servant, you go and do that or do the other, they will do it. You just say the word. Just say the word. And I trust, I believe that my servant will be healed if you just say the word. An incredible, incredible statement. A very surprising statement. This takes Jesus by surprise. Ho, 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 ho. I just preached for 2 days on the Sermon on the Mount to my lovely people, to the Israelites, to the Jews. I didn't get this response. And I'm coming to a Gentile place, and this is the response I'm getting. It's an incredible response. This wonderful, compassionate centurion, he came out of the house because he realized he's got 60 seconds to go, metaphorically speaking, to go and save his servant. 60 seconds because he had an incredible trust in God. What did he take out with him? He didn't take the servant. He took his trust in somebody else, in Jesus, who could do that healing. Just say the word. I'm coming because I want you to say the word. Now, let me tell you another thing. What is interesting about this compassionate centurion, for him to do that would have been really humiliating. Because this is a guy in charge of the whole army of that region in a part of the world. And for him to go and ask for help, unheard of. Really unheard of. He leaves all that behind with humility and packed up from his house, the situation, the burden, the pain that he carries from his house, alongside his humble spirit, he takes his faith that absolutely blows Jesus away. No, just say the word, Jesus. I believe you. You will do it. And I know you will be done. Just say it, because I do the same with my soldiers. I just tell them what to do and they will do it. You just say the word. And I believe in that authority of you. And this is unbelievable faith. And then when Jesus heard this this incredible statement of faith, of humility, of trust in him, there is this hugely divine declaration. Incredible divine declaration. For I myself, this is what the guy says. But he says, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. He was surprised. Lovely, incredibly pleased. And said to those following him, I tell you the truth. Listen to that. This is a bit, ouch. Ouch. I have not found anyone in the church of Israel, in this lovely Christian nation, who can display such a great faith. You've been with me for so many years. You've seen God at work in your lives for generations. But you don't display that trust that this lovely, compassionate Roman centurion does. What? What? This is exactly what Jesus does. One of those embarrassing moments. When he says, I tell you the truth. I have not found anyone in Israel with such a great faith. When that guy had the 60 seconds to come out of the house, he took this incredible great faith that he had in the power of Jesus to bring healing to his servant. Humility alongside faith. What an incredible display of trust in God. And then of course something happens. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believe it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I highlighted those four words. Healed at that moment. Jesus didn't go and touch him. Jesus didn't go and pray for him. Jesus didn't go and did the liturgy around him. It didn't. The incredible faith of that humble man, of a compassionate centurion, in Jesus' power and authority to heal, has healed his servant. What a faith! What a trust this Roman Gentile, not to mention it, displays in God's power and authority. And his servant was healed at that very, very moment. This is a mighty miracle. My brothers and sisters, we are so sometimes used to our surroundings, to our houses, that it takes, and it pays me to say, and I say with humility, but it takes sometimes a serious experience in our lives, be it a fire, be it an earthquake, in my case, be it the loss of a spouse, for us to begin to get out of the house and have our trust in Jesus. Of course, that could have the opposite effect. Many of us who go into and go to experiences like this that are tough and difficult, we become bitter rather than better in our relationship with Christ. This Roman centurion, he had very little time left. In those 60 seconds, metaphorically speaking, as I said, he's taken his faith to display to Jesus that he believes in authority, his authority to heal. And a miracle has happened. Sometimes we need to allow that fire of God to come. And sometimes we need to make those burdens that we carry, allow them for the Lord through his Spirit to build a new ministry in our life. This is something, this story that is recorded in the Gospels of a Gentile displaying faith in Jesus, usually is of Jewish people. There's only two other stories that display that kind of faith in God from a non-Jew person. Two things that I want to share with you, and then I'm closing with three big stories. Faith works when we come to God in humility and with faith. People in the Old Testament, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Job, they all knew what it means to come with a humble spirit, with a trust in God. Because the nation of Israel, their house was full of idols. Their house was full of non-godly things. And Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and all the other big prophets, they said, if you are not coming out of the house with idols, they will be burned. And you only got 60 seconds to come out of it. Those are people who cry their heart out prophetically, say, you need to come out. You need to let the Lord meet with you, and you need to trust him. You need to come out. You've got 60 seconds. That's what the prophet was basically telling them. You need to get out of the house. And the only thing you can take with you is to look at him, not the other gods. That's basically, in a nutshell, metaphorically speaking, what the prophets did throughout the Old Testament. You've got 60 seconds to get out of the house. What will you take with you? Don't take the other idols. Don't take the other gods. Your unfaithfulness, your unbelief, and untrusty kind of attitude towards God. Take your faith to him as the only God that provides. Have they learned the lesson? No, really. Secondly, faith works when our confidence in the Lord is so strong that we are willing to risk embarrassment and failure. Listen, when this guy went to Jesus, he could have very well have experienced Jesus' thing like Martha has and Mary when they called him to Lazarus and they said, you know, well, I've got another, I'll come, but I can't do it just now. And Jesus turned off 4 days and Lazarus was dead by that time. This guy could have experienced the same thing. I haven't got the time. I've got something else to do. I will come. Or he could have the experience or failure of, actually, Jesus can't do it. I can't heal him. It would have happened. It could have. Sometimes it takes a fire, as I said, it takes a tragedy. It takes a burden on our lives, on our shoulders, or even a back against the wall experience in order for us to get out of the house. It is when we get out that we will experience God's miracle as we put our trust in him. God's miracle that is then transformed into a ministry that in turns equal God gets the glory. God gets the glory. Now let me tell you very briefly about some people who have had 60 seconds, metaphorically speaking, to get out of the house. Let me tell you about a gentleman called William Wilberforce. You know William Wilberforce found himself as an incredible spokesman, who was a British politician, a very good pastor and evangelist. He began his political career quite early in his life. Then in his teenage years, he went away from the Lord. He rebelled. He liked the life out there. Then he came back. At the age of 25, he was appointed as again as an MP into the Westminster there, and he fought all his life to abolish slavery in this country for many years. The abolition of slavery took place. Finally, the act of abolishing slavery in this country took place 3 days before William Wilberforce passed away. God Almighty has set before me two great objects, two big fires that got me out of the house in 60 seconds. The suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of manners. That's what the fires that God has brought into his life that gave him a new ministry. It took 60 seconds, metaphorically speaking, about 40 years as such. There's another guy whose house was on fire, again, metaphorically speaking, William Tyndale. We know that this is the guy who translated almost 70% of the Latin version of the scripture of the Bible into English. And he fought for years and years and years for the king to allow for the Bible to be given to everyone so that everybody can read it. In those days, only those who were professionally trained could read the scripture. He fought with all his heart that the scripture will be translated into English so that even the plow, the man who drives the plow, will be able to read it. This is what he said to Henry VIII, face to face. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And then, of course, he died at the age of 42. He was killed because this was thought of being heresy. So the story doesn't end up, and they all lived happily ever after, because he didn't. He didn't. Within a few months of his death, King Henry VIII approved the Tyndale's translation of the scripture, of all of it, 80%. He translated about 80% of the New Testament, about 70% of the Old Testament. The scripture that we have today, it's 100% built on the foundation that that gentleman translated. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you another guy whose house was, and this was literally, his house was on fire. George Müller, who was, he lived in Bristol, he was of German origin. And this is the guy who, like the passage of the centurion that we read this morning, he trusted God with all his heart. Listen to this. He built 5 orphanages in Bristol in which he fed 10,000 orphans. Oh, okay. I grew up in Romania. I've seen a lot of orphanages. I've seen many more orphans. But what makes this guy so incredibly, incredibly different from all the other orphanages that I've seen is that he never, ever asked for a penny from the government. It was all unsolicited gifts. All in prayer. He never told a person about the needs. It was one of the stories that one morning the kids didn't have breakfast. And he was there in prayer as usual is, about 3 hours every morning at 3:30 in the morning. That was his time for prayer till just about before 6 o'clock. He was there in prayer and he said, "Lord, I've got nothing to give them this morning, absolutely nothing." And then as he was praying in the middle of the prayer, about 4:45, if you read his biography, he says he hears this mighty bang. And it's just outside his door of the orphanage, a big cart will milk. The cart just broke down. So all the milk was passed on to the children in prayer. Another example of it, he goes on to meet, I forgot where he was, somewhere in Canada, a big personality, a big politician. And he goes on this big vessel, on this big ship, and it gets a bit foggy. So he goes to the captain and he says, "Captain, can we make it a bit quicker? Because I need to get to this meeting. I need to be there in 2 days." And the captain says, "No way, you can't do this. We can't do this because it's very foggy. We can't go any faster." So then he says to the captain, "Well, give me a room and I'll go and pray." So he takes the map or the chart room. He goes there and the captain follows him. And George begins to pray and he says, "Lord, lift the fog so we can get there in time for my meeting. It is all for your glory." And then the guy comes in, the captain comes in, and he starts praying. And he stops the captain from praying and says, "Shh, shush. The Lord has already answered it. No more. Let's not waste more time. You go back to the driving wheel, because go and have a look. The Lord has answered it. Go and steer the ship." The guy goes out and he's amazed to see that absolutely all clear. He made it on time, all by prayer and trust. George Müller, bless him. And there is shortly, which I want to close with. There is a lady called Dorothy Day. How many of you have heard of Dorothy Day? Yeah. One person. That's lovely. Two person. 3 people. That's lovely. Let me tell you who this lovely lady is. She had a very dark past. A very tough teenage years. She had a child with a very famous Hollywood guy. And the guy didn't, in the end, like men usually do, did a runner. and she had an abortion. And that fire in her house has caused her to build one of the most powerful ministries, as much as ministries for activism goes. She built a ministry that is called the Catholic, I think it is the Catholic Working School. She was a Catholic per se, and she built this incredible ministry to the outcast. And it's something that David said in one of his sharing this morning. That matches exactly what this lady said. She said, I don't want to go and do mission to people or at people, but as David said, with people. With people. You know that I love C.S. Lewis, and a lot of my theology goes around that. But if I were to have a lady theologian, this would be the one. Where, like David said, she's chosen to spend time with people. Not preach to them, not just pray for them, but actually live with them. The effect that that abortion had on her life was incredibly significant. That fire that came into her life has spurred her into a new, because she tried, after the abortion episode in her teenage years, she tried to build and encourage people's lives through Marxism, communism, socialism. I was part of that. It didn't work. And then she discovered that there is something else better as we trust in Jesus, that as we go to have to spread the gospel, we have this incredible power, authority from Jesus to go and be with people. She said also that the trouble and the root of our troubles is the acceptance of a rotten and stinking system in our society. Does it ring the bell? What do these people have in common? Let me tell you this. They step out of a burning house. They had those 60 seconds. They use their heart's burden as a foundation for their future ministry. Did you know that, what's his name? William Wilberforce, at the age of 70, he married again. At the age of 71, in fact, 70, his wife died. And then he went on a mission field for another 17 years. What? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They also trusted God wholeheartedly. Like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they were statesmen, not statesmen or stateswomen, not just politicians. And I'm not going to make a huge comment about our politician today, but I'm going to say this. We need people like this who are statesmen, stateswomen, and not politicians. What's the difference? A statesman, well, let me start with a politician. He will tell you that if you elect them, your pension will be better. They will tell you that if you elect them, then of course you have a free bus pass. You will have whatever for the immediate dealings with stuff. That's a politician. Those guys differ from on that because they were statesmen and stateswomen. They look to build the future for a generation to come, not for the present time. How much we need to pray that God will give us statesmen, not politicians, who will have a vision for this country. You know where I am tomorrow. Let me remind you, and I need your prayers, because I'm standing on these steps. Tomorrow I'll be standing on the steps of Westminster with a politician on Tuesday morning. And they asked me to bring a word to them. I don't think I'm going to tell them the difference between a statesman and a politician. It's my second meeting, but it'll be the last, I think. But I would value your prayers as I go to meet these people, that somehow there will be something that the Lord will give me to say to them as a word of a prophetic word. I have a wonderful privilege the Lord has given me to be there with them on Tuesday morning and share. as we are at the moment, when they asked me, was it Baroness Cox, when she asked me to bring this word, I was thinking, oh yeah, the word is mess, you know, what else can you bring? I do hope, and I, please do hold me dearly in your prayers as I go tomorrow and for Tuesday morning. But we need people who are trustworthy, that are statesmen into God's kingdom, to trust fully, surrendering into God's love, but also who build a future for our children, for us, and for generations to come. Not just politicians, but statesmen of God's love. So, why will you take out the house if you've got 60 seconds? Because you might just meet Jesus. You might just see a miracle as you go out. Are you expecting that? Are you taking that kind of humility and faith with you? God will do a miracle. I put my hand up and I say it shamefully, that sometimes when I go to the house, I don't expect Jesus to work more than just what I believe is normal human Baptist. It's been challenging for me to read this passage again and to prepare for it, from it. I hope that the Lord will give us that spirit of Abba Father, and of timidity, that will cry to Him and will bring healing to us, to our families, to our nation, to the rich and beyond, to the world. We have that authority. If only we had that trust. I pray that the Lord will give you, forgive me, a 60-second time in His time, metaphorically speaking, where you build your kingdom, your ministry around God's kingdom values for whatever may come. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for calling us to display our faith in You as witnesses, as God's people. We thank You for Your faith in us, for Your trust in us, for choosing us to be witnesses to Your love and to Your grace. We stand again in Your presence this morning and we ask yet again, forgive us for when we fail to trust in Your authority, in Your power, in Your healing presence, in Your word. Thank You for what You taught us today from Your word. Let it be a challenge to us. Let us leave as if we had 60 seconds left to come out of the house. Let us become a prophetic voice, a heart that is full of trust, a walk among people that is humble. And may we live a life to bring glory to You among other people. Lord, would You give us the faith of this compassionate centurion? Fill our hearts with compassion. If there is no compassion, there is no faith. If there is no a burning heart for the lost, there is no building of Your church and Your kingdom. Lord, I pray that You will bless our church, You will bless the people in it who might be in a house of fire just now and they're thinking what they could get out. You will bless them. You will show them the way forward and what is valuable to pick up when they get out. You will build in and through them their experience, a new ministry. But above everything else, I pray for all people as I pray for myself, that we will all experience your miraculous power as we come in contact with you, as we trust you. Lord, bless us.